an Osho talk. The Original Man talks on Zen, number 5.
Basui said, upon such realization, question yourself even more intensely in this wise. My body is like a phantom, like bubbles on a stream. My mind, looking into itself, is as formless as empty space. Yet somewhere within, sounds are perceived. Who is hearing? Should you question yourself in this wise, with profound absorption, never slackening the intensity of your effort, your rational mind eventually will exhaust itself, and only questioning at the deepest level will remain. Finally, you will lose awareness of your own body. Your long-held conceptions and notions will perish after absolute questioning, in the way that every drop of water vanishes from a tub broken open at the bottom. Perfect enlightenment will follow, like flowers suddenly blooming on withered trees. While you are doing Zazen, neither despise nor cherish the thoughts that arise. Only search your own mind, the very source of these thoughts. You must understand that anything appearing in your consciousness or seen by your eyes is an illusion of no enduring reality. Hence, you should neither fear nor be fascinated by such phenomena. If you keep your mind as empty as space, unstained by extraneous matters, no evil spirits can disturb you, even on your deathbed. While engaged in Zazen, however, keep none of this counsel in mind. You must only become the question, what is this mind? Or, what is it that hears these sounds? When you realize this mind, you will know that it is the very source of all Buddhas and sentient beings.
Anandu, before I say something on Basui's statements, a small preface is needed. Because it is very difficult to distinguish a teacher from a master. And that is very essential for everyone who is on the path to exactly make the distinction. Because they both use the same language. Sometimes even the teacher may be more articulate. And that is the case with Basu. Unfortunately, I have to say to you, he is still a teacher and not a master. I am hoping that before the series ends, he comes to his senses. Whatever he is saying, those who have not experienced their innermost consciousness, it will be difficult to note down where he goes wrong, where he is repeating right words, but right words even used by the mind become wrong. And even wrong words used by a master become devices. Anybody who is studying and not meditating, studying the scriptures and not entering into his own consciousness, will find it very difficult to say whether Basui is a teacher or a master. The master is one who knows. He may not be able to convey it. Most probably, he will keep silent, or even if he speaks, his speech is leading towards speechlessness. His words are pointed towards a wordless existence. He is not a man of language. He is a man beyond mind. Basui's statements are mixed. Few he must have got from the scriptures, which appear to be exactly right. But the others expose that he has not experienced himself. He is a good spokesman. But a spokesman is a spokesman. The teacher simply repeats like a parrot perfectly the ancient scriptures, sages, Buddhas. He is very accurate. Years of training and discipline make his mind a reservoir of wisdom, but it is all borrowed. And wisdom can never be borrowed. You can befool people, but you cannot convert and transform those people. You yourself are not transformed. Your own very light is not yet found. How you can transpire and transmit the lamp of existential experience? Basui is trying his hard to be on the right line, but He is helpless. Everybody is helpless. You cannot manage. A blind man may remember perfectly where the door is, but still you can see his movement is hesitant. You can see that with his walking stick he is still trying to find the door. He does not have the right clarity where the door is. He may have the right description, but he has not the experience. A blind man can describe about light and about colors. But what he knows about colors, and what he knows about rainbows, what he knows about the starry night. It is hard work for me to put down Vasui from his idea of being a master and reduce him to the place of a teacher. A good teacher, of course. Very best of the kind. Showing every science that sooner or later he will realize that I am repeating borrowed knowledge. And the moment one realizes I am repeating borrowed knowledge, all my mind is borrowed, the mind slips out of the hands. And without taking a single step, one has arrived home. The moment you can say, I do not know, and you are just an open space available to existence, existence starts pouring through you. That which you cannot say, I know. It is so vast. The word knowledge is very small. The word knowledge is good for science. The word science exactly means by its roots knowledge. But the word knowledge is not right in the realm of religiousness. There it is too small. Knowledge is tethered to the mind, and wisdom is when the mind has disappeared. With this clarity, you have to listen to Basui's statements. Basui said, upon such realization, question yourself even more intensely in this wise. Now I will have to point again and again where he is showing that he does not know. If I was to write this sentence, I will say, upon such realization, all questions drop. Not only questions drop, answers also. you are left utterly silent without any question and without any answer. Just you are, a pure sky, unscratched. But he is saying, upon such realization, question yourself even more intensely. After realization, what is there to question? And if something remains to question after realization, the realization was fake. Realization simply means you have become one with the universe. Who is going to question whom? You are no more. Realization means you have dissolved yourself into the vastness of reality. Now, who is going to question more intensely? All these things, questioning and questioning intensely, are before realization, not after realization. These things can bring you closer to realization, but after realization, it is almost like telling somebody when you become healthy, take the medicine more and more. It was perfectly good when you were sick, but when you are healthy, then taking the medicine more and more is going to make you sick. Vasu has no realization of his own. Otherwise, he could not have said, question yourself even more intensely in this wise. He even shows the way. He even gives you the question, what to question. My body is like a phantom. All these things happen before realization, not after realization. After realization, all phantoms have disappeared. All shadows have gone. All that is false is no more, only the real shines in its splendor. There is no question possible. My body is like a phantom, like bubbles on a stream. My mind looking into itself is as formless as empty space. All these questions are for the disciples, not for the master. He has passed through all that gibberish. Yet somewhere within, sounds are perceived. Who is hearing? A man of realization asking such questions? Then what about a man of no realization, what he will ask? Leave something for the unenlightened. Don't take away everything from the unenlightened. These questions are relevant in a certain context when you don't know. The watching self, the witnessing self, the innermost I, before it everything is absolutely clear. no bubbles arise, no sounds are perceived, it is absolute silence. Very alive, not the silence of a graveyard, but the silence of a garden. There is no point after realization to ask any question. And this I am saying on my own authority. I have not asked a single question. It was impossible to ask. You are so peaceful, so calm, so clear, that that which is false simply disappears, just as you bring the light in and the darkness disappears. When you become aware of yourself, all falseness, all lies, all the personality that you have cultivated around your essential being drops suddenly. You are standing alone, a luminous flame in which everything false is burned. And this luminous flame has only one quality, and that quality is watchfulness. You simply watch, just like a mirror. Have you seen any mirror ever asking that why do you have such a jeebus nose? Can't you manage a plastic surgery? The mirror simply says nothing. Whether you have a Jewish nose or a Chinese nose, it is not the concern of the mirror. The concern is only to reflect what comes before it. Not to comment and not to judge. Judgment is of the mind. Commentary is of the mind. Mirror simply watches silently. Everything is open. The mirror is at rest with anything to reflect. The mirror will not ask you, "Hey man, where have you lost your tail? According to Charles Darwin, you should have your tail. When you dropped from the trees and became men, and whom you are trying to cheat, he will not ask a monkey that why don't you drop your tail and become a man? Just get a good tailor." Simple things, but the mirror is absolutely silent, rejoicing in whatever is happening. without any comments, without any recommendations, without any questions. But he goes on being astray. Should you question yourself in this wise, with profound absorption, never slackening the intensity of your effort? This is too much. Zen is against effort. Zen is a let go. All the religions of the world are for effort. Hence, this statement will not be criticized anywhere except by men of Zen. Zen is not effort. Effort is tension. Effort is work. Effort is for something to achieve. Zen is not something to achieve. You are already that. Just relax. Relax so deeply that you become a revelation to yourself. Now Basui is going too much far away from authentic Zen. Never slackening the intensity of your effort. Your rational mind eventually will adjust itself and only questioning at the deepest level will remain. Who will question at the deepest level? If the rational mind is exhausted, there is nobody to question, only a mirror, simply reflecting. Poor Basui is still to go few rounds of birth and death. Unless by chance he meets an authentic master who gives him a good hit on the head and brings him to his senses that, forget this idea, do you think you are realized? All your statements make it clear that you don't know the sky of realization, the space that opens up for a realized man. What to say about questions? Even answers are not found. Finally, you will lose awareness of your own body. This is not true. You will never lose awareness at any point. On this great pilgrimage, your awareness will become more and more, but never a point will come when you will lose awareness. Awareness is the quality of the mirror. And he is saying, finally you will lose awareness of your own body. you will certainly lose the identity with the body. But that is not losing awareness of the body. You will know this is body. And I am not connected with it. Even this much has not to be verbal. It will be simply, I can see you are there. I never mistake that I am sitting there. I don't have to drop the idea that I am sitting there. Once you are aware, you don't have even to say that I am not the body. You are not. You simply see through and through. Neither you are the body, nor you are the mind, nor you are the emotions. All these are reflected in you. By mistake, you have been identifying yourself with them. You were thinking, my body, my mind. Neither your thoughts are yours, nor your mind is yours, nor your body is yours. What remains when you negate all these identifications? Only a pure awareness, a kind of isness. A being who radiates light, who radiates eternity, who dances with joy that he has come home. Finally, you will lose your awareness of your own body. Your long-held conceptions and notions will perish. Vasu is really poor. I have all compassion. Because all these things have to happen before realization. But this is the problem with the man who has not traveled the path himself and has only collected wisdom from others. He will put things upside down. He does not know which comes first and which comes second. Your long held conceptions and notions will perish after absolute questioning. In the way that every drop of water vanishes from a tub broken open at the bottom. Perfect enlightenment. Nonsense has many ways. Stupidity has no limits. Enlightenment as such is perfect. Don't use perfect enlightenment, that is unnecessarily repeating the same word twice. Perfection is enough, or enlightenment is enough, because both are the same. Using perfect enlightenment gives the idea that there can be imperfect enlightenment too. 50% enlightenment, 60% enlightenment. Enlightenment is always 100%. Neither less nor more. No Buddha is higher than another Buddha. The moment you awaken to your being, you have gone beyond all categories. You have melted in the universe where everything is equal. Perhaps Zen is the only ultimate communism. The communism that we hear about from Karl Marx and Engels and his followers is a very poor thing and very unpsychological, because no two men are equal. You cannot find two men who are equal. Every man has a distinct individuality of his own. Hence, on this level of outside world, equality can only be imposed by force. It was not just because of Joseph Stalin. Anybody in his place, if he was addicted and obsessed with the idea of equality, would have to do the same. He killed 1 million Russians in the effort to make them equal. I am reminded of an old Greek mythological story. A king was very much interested in gold. He prayed day and night about gold, and finally the gods permitted him that whatever he touches will become gold. So he touched everything of his house and made it gold. But he lost his wife, he lost his daughter, he lost his son. They all escaped, because if he touches them, he was really AIDS positive. The first pioneer. He has made a beautiful guest house. Once or twice only somebody became a guest. Because in his guest house, he has two rooms. His whole philosophy was, the world should be filled with gold and everybody should be made equal. He has made a very beautiful bed out of solid gold, especially for the guests. But some guest was taller, some guest was smaller. He had wrestlers to stretch the guest exactly to the size of the bed. Naturally, every guest died. You cannot stretch a man according to a measurement. You have decided that this will be the right average size, and everybody has to be equal and average. Somebody is 5 inches short. Now if you stretch a man 5 inches, do you think he will be still alive? Perhaps his head may come off. Or his legs may give way. Or if somebody is bigger than the bed, then the problem was even more difficult. To force him, press him, destroy all his intestines, but the rule has to be followed. Equality. He introduced the word equality in the world. I am not in favor of equality in the outside world. In the outside world, everybody has to be unique and himself. Yes, equal opportunity should be given to everybody. That is a different matter. Equal opportunity to be unequal. But in the inner world, every Buddha is just the same. Gautam Buddha is reported to have said that you can taste the sea water from any side, you will find it of the same taste, the same salty taste. Exactly the same is Buddhahood. You can taste it from one Buddha or from another Buddha, it does not matter. It gives the same taste, the same fragrance, the same light, the same joy. Basui is talking about perfect enlightenment will follow like flowers suddenly blooming on withered trees. There is no perfect enlightenment. Enlightenment is enough unto itself. It needs no perfection. The moment you use a perfect enlightenment, you are allowing yourself logically, rationally, to accept that enlightenment can be of an imperfect quality. But you cannot conceive what kind of enlightenment it will be that is not perfect. Enlightenment as such is perfect. Perfectness is intrinsic. So no master can use those two words together, either perfection or enlightenment. These are the words of a teacher who have gathered much knowledge from the scriptures, is a man of learning, but not a man of knowing. While you are doing zazen, that's why I said stupidity has no limits. When you have become a Buddha, enlightened, for what you will be doing zazen? Once you have learned the alphabet of any language, do you go on all your life learning the alphabet again and again in case you forget? I have never come across a man who has forgotten some word in the alphabet. It is almost impossible. If you can count up to 10, you can count millions and trillions, because they are all repetitions of 10. 10 again and 10 again. And you cannot forget that you have 10 fingers. Zazen means sitting in silence, watching the mind. Now, a Buddha cannot do it. In the first place, there is no more any thought left. That's why he has become Buddha. Now, unnecessarily, what he is going to watch? The show is over, the people are gone, and Gautam Buddha is sitting in his lotus posture watching the screen. Even the projector is removed. This is great zazen. A real stupidity, 100% pure stupidity. Zazen is needed for ignorant people who don't know who they are. Then sitting silently and watching your mind creates the distinction between the thoughts and yourself. You become aware for the first time that there is something beyond the mind, the watcher. You cannot watch the watcher. That is impossibility. You cannot go beyond the watcher. The watcher is the limit of the universe. You cannot say that I can watch the watcher, watcher number one, watching, watcher number two, watching, watcher number three. You will end up in a madhouse. It has happened to a centipede. Just one early spring morning, a centipede is going for a morning walk. A little rabbit was very much puzzled, looking from his hole. "My God," he said, "how this fellow remembers which leg to put first. 100 legs. That's why he is called centipede. He has made the century. You are far away. Just only 2 legs and bragging too much." He wondered, worried. And then he came out, could not resist, and said, "Uncle, I cannot resist my curiosity. I should not interfere in your morning walk, but just a small question. How do you manage 100 legs? Which one first? Which one second?" The centipede said, "The question is valid, but I have never thought about it. Let me try." So he started walking and counting. 1, 2, 3, and just as I get last after 3, he got last. By the 4th he had fallen. And the rabbit escaped because it has been a disaster, the question. And the centipede somehow managed to drag himself to his hole and told to other centipedes that never answer the question. If somebody asks you, how do you manage your leg? They manage themselves. It is nothing our work, our effort, our management. Vasui is saying that when you are a Buddha, self-realized, you should sit doing zazen, neither despise nor cherish the thoughts that arise. Can you see the problem of him? He has read many scriptures and collected fragments from here and there, and now he does not know which leg to put first and which leg to put second. The last leg he has put first. He begins with, upon such realization, after that nothing has to be said. But he goes on saying everything that should come before realization. All these things are valid, but in their place, in their context, not anywhere. And I don't think that he has ever done zazen. Because he is saying, neither despise nor cherish the thoughts that arise, only search your own mind, the very source of these thoughts. You must understand that anything appearing in your consciousness or seen by your eyes is an illusion of no enduring reality. All these things are perfectly right in a wrong place. Hence you should neither fear nor be fascinated by such phenomena. A man of realization even though the whole world thinks still meditates, the world is wrong. Meditation is once fulfilled, that is zazen, once you have reached to the point to know that you are a pure awareness beyond mind, beyond all thoughts, this very experience of beyondness disperses all clouds from the sky, then you don't have to do all the work that he is suggesting. Hence you should neither fear nor be fascinated by such phenomena. If you keep your mind as empty as space, unstained by extraneous matters, no evil spirits can disturb you. Even on your deathbed, a man of realization knows there is no death. Death is a fiction. You have never died. Yes, you have changed many times, many forms. You have changed your houses many times, many times. But you have never died. Have you seen yourself ever dying? It is always somebody else who dies. That's why you go on enjoying all kinds of stupid things, football, television rubbish, and people are glued. The American survey is that 7.5 hours per day, everybody is glued to the chair before the television. And naturally, meanwhile, eating all kinds of things. So they have created a television potato association and thousands of Americans have joined the association, have become members. The only thing is, it is bound to be, you will become a potato. For 7.5 hours sitting in your seat, pushing all kinds of rubbish, ice cream, Coca-Cola, keeping the freeze just by, within your reach. You will turn up in a potato. Soon you will see the world full of potatoes. Somebody suggested me that tomato will be far better. I said, why tomato? Potato is at least harder. If tomato gets so much rubbish, it will bust out. It is a very thin skin. Then from all over, somewhere ice cream is coming out, somewhere Coca-Cola is coming out. Tomatoes cannot manage. Potatoes are difficult people. And a man doing zazen comes to the point to realize that whatever is seen is phenomenal. It is just of the same stuff as dreams are made of. Everything goes on changing. That is the Eastern definition of reality and unreality. The unreality simply means the changing one. You were a child, you have become young, you will become old. This is phenomenal. This is unreal. But there is something within you which never becomes anything else than itself. In your childhood, it is the same. In your youth, it is the same. In your old age, it is the same. In your death, it is the same. A man of meditation knows his eternal being, his immortal being. There is no deathbed for him. While engaged in zazen, however, keep none of this counsel in mind. He knows not even the ABC of zazen. He is saying that while doing zazen, all that I have described, don't keep any part of it in your mind. A man who has experienced Zazen, simply knows that whatever comes before the eyes is just phenomenal, it comes and goes. Just like clouds come and go, flowers come and go, everything in the world except your being goes on moving into new forms. To find yourself is to find the center of the cyclone. The whole world is a cyclone. But once you have found it, the cyclone disappears. The mirror remains empty. This emptiness is Buddhahood. This nothingness is the ultimate peak of consciousness. I hope that this fellow forgets all that he has learned and begins to meditate. Knowledge, howsoever valuable, is useless in transforming you. Only your own experience, your own fire can transform you. And you have the fire. Everybody is born with it. Just you have to turn yourself inwards. I hope Basui must have turned inwards by this time. If not, then he will have to come here. Because now, even in Japan, Zen has become just a scholarly study. Zen is not a scholarly study. Zen is an existential quantum leap. It is not of the mind. It is going beyond the mind. Dozen, a Zen master, wrote, a scarecrow in the hillock, paddy field, how unaware, how useful. A scarecrow is a false man. Farmers make, just putting a bamboo covering the top by a mud patch as if it is a monk's head, perfectly shaven. Then putting another bamboo, just like a cross, and then covering the cross with a robe, two hands, and the robe falling down to create fear in the wild animals sometimes in moonlit nights, even the scarecrow looks so beautiful. And certainly it is useful, but it is not true. So all that is useful does not mean it is true. And vice versa, all that is true does not mean it may prove useful. What use is enlightenment? You cannot sell it. Even if you want, even if you can find somebody to purchase, there is no way of selling it. What use is enlightenment? But utility is not the goal of life. The goal of life is a deep relaxation from all effort. Being in dance with the dancing trees, with the dancing stars, rejoicing in existence without any worry, without any mind, just being part of the cosmos. Dozen is right, a scarecrow in the hillock, paddy field, how unaware. The poor fellow is absolutely unaware. But that is the situation of all of us. Just a scarecrow, hung up on a skeleton, covered with a skin bag, they are thinking and they are making already man-made men, robots. They will be perfectly good, in fact more efficient than you. Just the only problem is when their battery runs out. Otherwise, you will not be able to know whether the person who is saying to you, "I love you, sweetheart," and then his battery goes out. Then you become suddenly aware, "My God, it is a robot." Otherwise, he had the whole program, the whole dialogue computerized. He can do many things, he is very useful. Just few days in Japan, in a factory where they were using robots, an accident has happened which may determine the future of robots in the coming century. Because robots can do 24-hour time. They don't need Sunday or any holiday. They don't go on strike. They don't ask for any raise. They are very good people, nice and gentlemen. And they do continuously work, and one robot can do almost 1,000 people's work in the same time period. But in a factory where few robots were used, experimental, something went wrong. It always happens with electricity, something goes wrong. Something went wrong and 6 robots just clutched any human being who was passing by, hugged him. That was not in their program. And a robot hug, the man was finished. You cannot survive after a robot hug. You will have so many fractures that it will not be worth to hospitalize you. They are still searching what happened. Something went wrong because not only 1, 6 robots, and they were all who were working in the factory. Suddenly, a great love for humanity arose, and they don't believe in heterosexuality or homosexuality, it doesn't matter. Anybody who was moving around, they simply pulled him, gave him a good hug, and finished him. It has been known to biologists that there are few spiders in Africa, a very rare species, but very significant. When the male mounts over the female, making love, maybe talking in their language, all kinds of movie dialogues. By the time he comes on, the lady underneath starts eating the fellow. That spider makes only one love in life. His work is finished. But he has a great orgasmic state. He is trembling on long legs and the lady is eating him. And he is in such an ecstasy, he cannot even escape. Each love becomes death. Perhaps it is very symbolic. And if robots get mixed up into humanity, they will be having everything that you have, The only thing will be, they will be running on battery. It depends on their battery, how powerful it is. If a robot makes love to a woman, it all depends on his battery. After that, that woman will never be satisfied by any man. Because human batteries are very small. There is human electricity in the body, but a very small quantity. Man is not just a utility that can be done by machine, by robots. Man is a dance, a song, for no purpose at all. Do you think a rose has any purpose? Do you think a lotus has any purpose? Do you think these millions of stars have any purpose? Just out of sheer joy, the whole existence is dancing. A man of meditation comes to the same point. He starts dancing in utter ecstasy and joy without any purpose. This kind of man may love you, may have compassion, may be creative, but all for sheer joy. Only for a Buddha, art is for art's sake. For everybody else, art is a commodity to be sold in the marketplace. Another Zen poem, the mind cannot become the Buddha, the body cannot become the Buddha. Only what cannot become the Buddha can become the Buddha. Now what are the ingredients in you? The body cannot become the Buddha, the mind cannot become the Buddha. Except body and mind, is there something else within you? That is what I am calling watchfulness, awareness, witnessing, only that. But that also cannot become the Buddha. It is already the Buddha. It is a very beautiful poem. signifying that the man understands what he is saying. The mind cannot become the Buddha, the body cannot become the Buddha, only what cannot become the Buddha can become the Buddha. That last part will look like a puzzle to anybody who does not understand his own awareness. You don't have to become a Buddha, you are already a Buddha, just you have to discover it. You are covered with a body, you are covered with a mind, just you have to discover yourself. You don't have to become, you have just to recognize. You have just to say, penetrating within your body and mind, reaching to the innermost core, and suddenly you are the Buddha. It is not that you have become a Buddha. You are a full-fledged Buddha already. Just you have not looked inside yourself. Ananda has asked a question. Last night you said that the transmission can happen in a second, that you reach out to us every day, but still our doors are closed. So many of us have been with you so many years. You have melted our hearts so many times. Can it be that our doors have somehow rusted shut? Ananda, saying that your doors are closed is only symbolic. You don't have any doors. They cannot be rusted shut. Have I told you the famous anecdote about Rabia al-Adawiyya? A Sufi master very rare because she was a woman and very unique, almost like a Bodhidharma. Was passing one day by the site of the mosque where she never went, and people even asked her that you are so religious, so simple, so innocent, why don't you come to the mosque? She said, what is the purpose now? The mosque is for you because you are not sincere and you are not simple. It is not for me. I have found my home. One day she was passing by and a man named Hassan, who became afterwards a great master himself, was praying just before the mosque steps. With his both hands raised, kneeling down on the ground, that God, when you will listen me, why don't you open the door? When Rabia heard it, he hit Hasan and told him, "You idiot, there are no doors. And to whom you are praying? There is nobody in the sky to answer your question. Just go home and look inwards. There are no doors. Nothing is preventing except your own desire to remain outside, maybe to have a little more money, a little more political power, a little more influence in the world, a little more name to be written in the history books. All trivia. Just remember not to get caught with this trivia. Enter into yourself, and the Buddha is there. Perfect. There is nothing missing in it. Before we enter tonight again, because it is a dangerous journey, you may find the Buddha and may not come out, but I take the risk, because I will be responsible before the court that you told people to go in and they have gone. Now pull them out. It is very difficult. So you have to remember, when I say come out, come out. Going is very easy. But the inside is so beautiful and so alluring, you may decide, what is the point of going out? Please don't do that. Because I will be responsible. So just see the Buddha, understand that he is there, but when Nivedana gives you the drum beat to come back, don't hesitate. Just come slowly, gracefully, remembering the Buddha, keeping the remembrance around your 24-hour life, in your actions, in your gestures, in your words, in your silences. But please, this one thing you have to remember, that don't get stuck there inside. Because then nobody can pull you out. No operation will help. If you decide to be in, finished. Then we have to just make a ceremony. That one man became a Buddha. We don't call anybody has died, because here nobody dies. Up to now, only 3 persons have become Buddha. Death is a fiction. But there is no need and no hurry. Enjoy every evening going in, just for an evening walk. Enjoy relish, be nourished, and let this experience transform your whole outer life. But one never knows what you will decide when you are inside, you will be alone. So before that, few good laughters, perhaps just those laughters will bring you out, that let us have one night more. Few laughters more, perhaps Bhagwan is going to tell some jokes tomorrow and I will not be here. Remember it. It has been a tough week for Olga Kobylevsky. She wakes up one morning feeling very horny, sliding her ewes, 300-pound hunk of a woman, out of the bed. She puts on her scantiest see-through negligee and a pair of purple rhinestone-studded panties. Then she goes over to the hifi and puts on her favorite belly dancing music and starts giggling and wriggling about. Kobylevsky hung over from drinking the night before, opens one bleary eye and groans. Olga, seeing her husband's return to consciousness, rips off her purple panties and throws them on Kobylevsky's face. Kobylevsky snores loudly, rolls over in bed and goes back to sleep. Later that morning, Olga is sobbing on Dr. Feelgood's psychiatric couch. Doc sniffs Olga, "I just don't know what to do." Now Mrs. Kobylevsky sympathizes Feelgood, "What is the problem?" "It is my husband," groans Olga. "He just ignores me. He does not even know I exist as a woman. What can I do?" Mrs. Kobylevsky, says Feelgood, patting her hand, "Why don't you diet?" "Wow," says Olga, brightening up, "that's a great idea. But what color?" Paddy tiptoes drunkenly into the house at 2 in the morning, trying his best not to disturb his wife Maureen. Just as he closes the door, the cuckoo pops out of the cuckoo clock and cuckoos twice. "Ah, shit," said Paddy, slapping his hand over the bird's mouth. "She will hear that and know how late I am. thinking as quickly as he can, Paddy cuckoos 10 times, giggling to himself at his own intelligence. Then he sneaks into the bedroom. "You are late, dear," remarks Maureen icily as Paddy creeps in. "Yes, slobbers Paddy. The clock struck midnight just as I came in." "Ah, really," exclaims Maureen. "Well, that cuckoo is acting weird. I heard it cuckoo twice, then say, 'Ah, shit,' then giggle, fart, and then cuckoo 10 more times. Mad Marvin escapes from the crazy house and runs to a nearby town. He is seen standing by an old well, dancing and shouting, "Five, five, five." Curious, Officer Shump, the local cop, saunters over to Marvin. "What is all this noise about?" inquires the cop. "Look," exclaims Mad Marvin, pointing into the well. "Look, five, five, five." Officer Shump shakes his head at the loony and, just to humor him, steps up to see the well. Then, with a wide grin and a big push, Mad Marvin shouts, "Sit, sit, sit." Sit just as a Buddha, a frozen statue, no movement. Gather your consciousness inwards. Go deeper and deeper at the very center of your being, is your enlightenment. This very moment, being at the center in such tremendous silence, you are a Buddha. You don't have to become a Buddha, you have just to discover. You have only forgotten, you have just to remember. Don't be afraid. This is your space. You will not meet anybody on the way except your own being. In its all glory and splendor, in its all eternity, beauty, truth, everybody is carrying the ultimate treasure within himself. To make it more clear, Nivedana, relax. Let the body remain there and the mind. Withdraw your identification, just be a watcher. Watching is the secret key. It opens all the doors of all that is mystery, all that is miracle. Rejoice in it and remember the path, the way you have come to this point, so that at any time you want, you can enter in. Get refreshed, bring out your Buddhahood in your actions, in your gestures, in your responses. Just this small thing of entering into your own center is the whole religion. Then everything else follows on its own accord. And when things happen spontaneously, they have a duty of their own. Nivedana,
come back, resurrect slowly, keeping your awareness, remembrance, sit down like a Buddha for a few seconds. This is an ever-deepening process. It is not that one day you become Buddha and the pilgrimage is finished. You go on becoming more and more your depth goes on becoming deeper and deeper. Your clarity becomes absolutely dustless. It is the greatest phenomenon in the world to experience your Buddhahood and act it in your ordinary life. Can we celebrate the gathering of 10,000 Buddhas?
Yes.